When you show up as you, you make other people feel comfortable interacting and engaging with you.
Welcome to Living Limitless. I'm your host, Emily Dawn, full-time entrepreneur and coach for coaches. This is the place for you to be if you want to live your life with time, money, and location freedom. Because life is too short to have a backup plan. Welcome, welcome everybody to Living Limitless. I am so excited for today's episode as it's not just me this time. I have a special guest here with me. I have Brittany Smith. She is a graphic and web designer, creative brand strategist, speaker, and author. And we are going to be talking about all things building an authentic brand. Hey, Brittany, do you want to say hi and let people know who you serve?
Hi. Thank you guys for listening. And thank you, Emily, for having me. I serve female entrepreneurs who really want to design and build out their most authentic and profitable brand.
Love it. Love it. If you have not already connected with Brittany, you need to do so. You can see as soon as you hit on her profiles, whether it's on Facebook or Instagram, you can tell she does design. It looks absolutely stunning.
Thank you.
And today we're going to casually talk about how to build out your authentic brand. So the first question we're going to address is, what does it mean to have an authentic brand? So Brittany, if I was to ask you, how would you describe an authentic brand?
So first and foremost, when I think of the word authentic, I think of true, I think of genuine. So authentic brands must be true to what they say they offer and who they say they are. So for example, if you are a pet care brand, I ought to see pets and loving on pets in your ads and in your language and in your websites. And even if I got to know the CEO behind the brand, that person is actually a pet lover. So making sure that those values and that messaging runs true through the top, the CEO, all the way down to the staff and reaching the customer. So it's being the same in person, online, in store, in the e-store, being the same all the way across the board.
Right. I love the way you describe that. It's not just, you know, one area of your business. It's all of your business. Your brand is your business, and having that transparency and consistency allows for you to reflect, you know, who you serve, how you serve consistently. So if we're talking about service providers online or coaches, if we're showing up in one way or one light on Instagram, and then we're showing up in a different way on Facebook, we're going to kind of break that consumer journey if somebody goes from your Instagram to your Facebook. So having that consistency not only allows you to show up in your truest self and reflect what you really want to reflect and have that consistent messaging, but also helps your consumer be further nurtured. That's why when I was first starting out, I really didn't understand the concept of branding. But when I heard this, I understood. And it was, when somebody goes from your Instagram to your website, that journey should be continued, not broken. And that really gave me that visual of, I see how this is consistent. I see.
Right. Absolutely. And to your point, you don't want people to be confused in terms of, did I come to the right place? Because one thing for me as a customer, if I see lack of continuity across your platforms, I start to lose that trust. I start to get leery, you know, and wondering if you really are who you say you are. And you don't want to do that to your clients, because confused clients don't spend money.
Yes. Yes. I love that point. Trust is so important, because of course when we're talking about investing in something, you're not going to invest in someone that you don't trust. You know, right. You're going to invest in people that you believe in and believe that they can deliver upon. So such a great point there. And yeah, I'm thinking of a few different occasions right now where people have, let's say, an Instagram built out, and then they've linked to something that is like another one of their services or like something right. completely different. So I'm thinking of one person right now, but let's say you're doing life coaching, but then you're directing that audience to another project of yours, which is, you know, like a bakery or something like that.
Right.
Like just completely different. It's not that you can't have multiple businesses, but understanding your audience and what you're presenting to them and where you're directing them, and not confusing them. And same goes for offers. I've noticed this with service providers who might be coming from a bit of a scarcity or a desperate place, and therefore trying to throw out a whole bunch of different offers to serve. Right. And so let's say they're trying to make their fitness coaching work and they're not gaining clients from that. So then they're now offering social media marketing services. And again, it breaks that trust of how you serve, and it gets a bit confusing there.
Absolutely. And you know, the funny thing is, I was that person. A couple of years ago, I had a couple of different businesses, and I thought I was just being, you know, the ultra entrepreneur, when really I was confused and I didn't understand the difference between having different audiences and creating those different streams for those different audiences. So at one point I was doing graphics. Then I literally was doing baking. I had a baking business called Bites of Light. And then I also did, like I was singing as well. So I had like this musician brand, I had this baking brand, and then I had the graphic design. And to your point, I was trying to market all of that to the same people. And so it did become pretty confusing. And from the outside looking in, you know, customers are looking at me like, this girl has no idea, you know, what she's doing. She's all over the place and it's stressing me out. So I don't want to buy, you know, so you're absolutely right. If you are going to have multiple businesses, you have to create and build out separate brands for those businesses, because most times there may be some overlap, but most times you're serving different groups of people.
Yes, yes, and yes. And I actually, as you're saying that, I'm like, wait, that was me too. Because as I was doing Pilates instructing, which is why I originally came online,
nice.
I really had a desire to help people reach their goals in general. So I was calling myself a Pilates instructor and goal coach. And so it's obviously very broad, but it's really because I had imposter syndrome. So I wasn't able to, because I wanted to help people with social media marketing. I wanted to help people in their businesses, but I didn't want to call myself or refer myself to a business coach, because I didn't feel that I was, quote, at that level to serve. So I was just Pilates instructor and goal coach, and people are like, what is that? And then as I was, again, I had the same website, the same, Instagram profile that I was calling myself both of these things.
Right.
And I was trying to serve in two different ways and two different ideal clients. And therefore I was confusing myself and of course my audience, because people are asking what I do and I would have to send a paragraph. Right, I shouldn't have to send a paragraph of how I serve. So as I transitioned out of Pilates, I was able to, you know, niche down a bit more with business goal coach. I kept that goal in there because I was like, I still didn't want to call myself I'm just a business coach, but I kind of just stuck with it because I'm like, it does really reflect what I'm ultimately trying to help people do, which is reach their business goals. But yeah, it's interesting to see how it transitions and also how it it feels like at the beginning, you may be limiting yourself by going into one area, but really for me, it opened up so much opportunity by picking one place and one person to serve, because I was able to solely focus on that and build out different areas of that business. Whereas at the beginning, my mindset was, you know, I want to serve in both of these ways. I don't really want to let this thing go. And not until I did let it go, I realized how much of an opportunity was opened up with focusing in one area and serving one ideal client.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. So definitely if you are struggling to like pick one avenue, know that it's not necessarily your forever. And I think that holds people back from picking or focusing on one thing. It's because they're scared that if they make this decision, that it's going to be what their rest of their life or rest of their business looks like. And know that when you have your own business, you do have the freedom to adapt and change things. So I don't think, you know, trying out something for a week and then saying it doesn't work is going to be the best decision. But if you follow something out and follow through with it and realize it's not how you want to serve or who you want to serve, then you can adapt that as that comes up. But if you don't take that step to focus in one area of your business, you're not going to be able to really attract those people that are meant to find you and the people that you're meant to serve, which are your ideal clients.
Absolutely. And also, if you don't take that step to narrow down, your attention is divided. And then you start to feel the overwhelm of trying to show up 100% in five different areas. And so it starts to take a toll on you, not just in your business, but in your personal life as well. You're more stressed, you're more confused, you're more frustrated, you know, and you're spreading yourself entirely too thin, and you won't see the results that you could see going into one stream versus spreading out into five. So you're absolutely right.
Yes. And I think that same applies to social media platforms. So if you're trying to serve on all of the platforms, you're not going to be able to put all of your energy equally into all of those places. And you're not going to see the results you're after because you're, again, spreading yourself too thin and possibly leading yourself to burnout on the way. So you really want to focus in one place and, again, know that just because you choose to focus on Facebook right now doesn't mean that you can never use Instagram for business. And as you bring in team members or support, you can also expand your business in that way without running yourself dry.
Absolutely. And again, I was that person. we don't have to rehash it. But when I first started, I was on all the platforms and spent all the time creating all the content to go on all the platforms. Mm-hmm. And it was not sustainable at all, especially doing it by myself. It's not like I had a staff. You know, eventually one day I'll have an Instagram person and a Facebook person and a Twitter person. But right now I'm all the persons. So, you know, it's definitely, you're absolutely right.
Yes. Me too. I was trying to do it all. So why do you think it's so important to create a brand that reflects you, like as a solopreneur or as a coach or as a service provider, when you are kind of your business? Why is it so important to have a brand that reflects you as an individual?
It's important because when people are interacting with your business and interacting with your brand, they are literally interacting with you. You are the person that they connect with. You are the person that takes them through the journey. You are the person that creates the product or the service. And so when you are showing up as yourself, the client gets to know, like, and trust you. And that reinforces the power of the relationship that you have with that client. You know, and another thing that you'll notice, and maybe you'll notice this as a customer yourself, we're all consumers, that you can spot and sense a phony, like, right away. So when someone's trying to show up as someone that they're not, or they're trying to show up bigger than what they are, or more luxurious than their regular self, it's really hard to maintain that facade. And so again, it gets exhausting. You know, you have to kind of keep up the lie, if you will. And really you put yourself at a disadvantage doing that. One, two, in the day and age that we live in now, transparency goes a long way, not to the point where you're unprofessional, obviously, but being able to be transparent and giving your client the real you, you're serving from a place of passion, you're serving from a place of genuineness. And again, I think that goes a lot farther with clients than something that you put on for them.
Yes, yes, and yes, I could not agree more. What really stood out to me that you were talking about is kind of the fakeness, or putting on a certain face as you show up for your business that isn't necessarily completely you, as you feel maybe you feel that's necessary in order to succeed. Maybe you see other people doing that and right, you're trying to replicate that for you. So for me as a consumer, for example, like some people, you know, use the shiny cars, use the luxury brands or bags or fashion to brand themselves, which is completely fine. And if you're into cars and fashion, that's amazing. And you're going to attract those people that have those same desires to be able to invest in themselves in that way. But for me as a consumer, I've never been into, I'm not a cars person. I'm not a luxury brand person when it comes to fashion or purses or wallets or any of that. So for me as a consumer, that doesn't attract me at all to their service or anything like that, but that's going to attract their people. So there is no way to show up in which you're going to attract everyone. So you should focus on showing up as you, so you can attract your people. For me, I felt a lot of insecurity for showing up to be myself because I saw a lot of big personalities and a lot of people that are very outspoken and very just outgoing or seemingly outgoing online. And I knew that wasn't really me. I'm not a very, I guess you could say, loud or upfront person. And I felt like this insecurity that I couldn't show up live, that I couldn't go on my live stories because I'm not this huge, loud person. But when I did start showing up, I realized, oh, even if I'm not as outspoken as these other people, that doesn't mean my people aren't out there. That doesn't mean that I can't be successful because I'm not following what I'm seeing a lot of other people doing. So right, as I got more comfortable on lives and doing my stories, because practice makes progress, I realized, you know, looking back at my first few lives, how much I've opened up and become more human as I showed up in video, because at the beginning I was trying to do everything right, you know, say everything on time, not make a mistake, don't say look into the camera and all these things. Whereas now I don't feel as much pressure. I just kind of show up as me. And I, you know, like at the beginning compared to now, I would say I attract way more of my ideal client and people that are of quality coming into my community and contributing and engaging than before, because I've taken away that barrier of perfection and just shown up as me. Right. It's easier said than done. And I think nobody likes to be disliked. So that is something that is, you know, a constant thing you need to work towards. We need to constantly be practicing. And imposter syndrome, I believe, shows up, you know, but if you've made $0 in your business, $10,000, $1 million, imposter syndrome is not something I think that is cured. It's something right, that comes up and goes in waves. So know that whatever level you're at in your business, if you do deal with imposter syndrome, know that's just a part of the process and it's just something to work through. I believe we can do daily, you know, and weekly practices to help us get through it. But don't let that be a determining factor to stop you from showing up or showing up as your full self in your business. That was a really long-winded answer to why, why it's important that your brand reflects you. But essentially, when you show up as you, you're going to attract the people that are meant to and need your service.
Right. And one of the things that is key that I think you touched on is that when you show up as you, you make other people feel comfortable interacting and engaging with you. I think that it's funny because you mentioned like the difference of personalities. So I am that other personality. I am like, blah, like loud, like I get excited, I get hyped and all that. And that's a part of my brand. People come to me because I bring that energy. But like you're saying, there's a place for that. And I also think too, you know, you have to know what spaces you're in and be able to manage that as well. So even now, I mean, I'm not like, I'm reining it in, you know, so that I can still convey my authenticity, but showing that there are other sides to me as well. And people need to see that there are other sides to you because they need to see themselves in you. You know, yes. They need to be able to see that it's okay to be calm. It's okay to be on the quieter side. It's okay to be contemplative. Oh, it's also okay to be boisterous at times. It's also okay to be loud and laughing a lot at times. There's a place and space for all of it. And I think when people can see themselves in you, they're more able to connect with you, and then you're able to connect them to your service or your product.
Absolutely. I love that you say that, like, you're not just one layer. You know, we all have different layers, and to be able to let people not just see one side of you, but the different sides of you, just like when we're communicating in person, you know, the way our friends see us and our family see us, you know, we have different relationships. We show up different in different lights, different scenarios. And you're just going to come across and be able to resonate with people more when you show them more than one side of you. So for me, at the beginning, I was just showing one side of me. I was just showing, hey, I can bring value, and trying to be, quote, very professional, but I wasn't allowing people in to see like my personality or to be able to, you know, laugh or joke. But now, you know, as I get more comfortable, people are seeing more of a glimpse into my life. And that's something else to note on. If you are feeling like you have to show up in a certain way all the time, know that it's different than a job. And that's why I think I struggled with it at the beginning, because I was thinking, you know, your employer usually knows you in some sort of way. And, you know, it's usually in a professional setting. And so you go to work, you do the work, and you're done. But when you're running a business and when you're providing a service, people don't just invest in your service, they invest in you. Like, yes, I have, you know, these programs or these offers. And of course, people see value in my offer, but people don't just invest in my offer because of the features or the benefits of that offer. But it's because of, you know, my coaching style, that they've resonated with me, that, you know, we've communicated. And it's about building those relationships. And you can't really build those deep connections with your audience if you're not opening up to them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You got it.
So what would you say is the number one mistake you see people making when it comes to building their business brand?
The biggest thing for me is they go for the external things first. Your brand is more than your logo. It's more than your color palette. It's more than your website. Your brand is your core values. Your brand is your mission and vision, your mission and your vision. Your brand is, you know, those things that your business will stand on. Your brand is who you serve. Your brand is your promise statement, right? And so people want to start a business and they shoot for, I need a logo. I need a color palette. I need a website. And then they set these things up without having done the internal work first. And then that leads to a constant rebranding and redoing and re-logoing and re-websiting. And, you know, it leads to a lot of redoing things because you started without a foundation. So that would be, I think, the number one mistake. And then number 1.5 would be doing those things yourself when that's not your natural gifting. You do it, they do it themselves to save money. And it really hinders you from making the money that you could be making in your business because you're not presenting in an excellent way. So one, start with the internal things first, build the foundation. And then two, if you are gifted and skilled at designing and you have a knack for it, go ahead and create your own. But if you don't, please leave it to the professionals because you will save yourself a lot of time and money not having to go back and redo things over because what you did wasn't excellent.
Snapping to that, amen, my goodness. So, so true. It's way beyond external things. External is a part of your brand, but it is not your brand as a whole. So understanding that messaging and it's so, so important. And it's something I definitely could have spent way more time on at the beginning. It's something that I revisited a lot throughout my business development, but having it from the beginning will give you that core why and that drive and that consistency in your messaging so you can consistently resonate with your audience. Because if you don't have that core messaging, that core value in your business, you're not going to be able to consistently nurture with your content. So love, love, love the points you said there, as well as, you know, the 1.5 with leaving it to the experts. As Brittany said, like, if that's not your area, it's probably going to be hindering you more than helping you. So although, you know, an initial investment into branding might not be your first pick, it's going to serve you in the long run because building that business foundation is going to set you up for a sustainable business. But if we're building a business on an unstable foundation, it's going to come back and it's going to come back to bite for sure. So exactly. What piece of advice would you give somebody that is feeling invisible online? They feel like they have built out a brand. They feel like they have, you know, the external and internal factors, but they still feel like they're not being seen.
If I had to give one piece of advice, I would say keep showing up. Just keep showing up. One of the things that I recognize as I myself am in the middle of an audience shift, you know, and Emily can speak to this. I was ready to quit. I was ready to quit because I felt like I was doing so much work and so much. I felt like I was pleading with people, please interact with me online. Like people just weren't responding. But I realized that there were small tweaks I needed to make. So just because I needed to make tweaks doesn't mean that I get to stop showing up. Because what happens is the people that are watching you, they may not be engaging with you. They may not be purchasing just yet, but the people that are watching you will also get the experience and the privilege of watching you evolve. Right. And so keep showing up while you're making small tweaks. It could be your messaging that is off. It could be that your visual elements are not attractive to the people that you're trying to reach. It could be that you're not showing up on the right platforms. But whatever the case, as you are troubleshooting, keep showing up.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Yes. I cannot agree more because even I'm thinking about some people I've connected with and they feel like they need to take a pause until everything's ready. And when you take that pause, you're not allowing people to see your growth. And people actually want to see changes. People want to see your growth. And as Brittany said, even if you're not necessarily seeing engagement, that doesn't mean people aren't seeing your post or aren't resonating with it. The amount of times I've connected with people that have said, oh, I see your content all the time, or I've been following you for a while, and I don't recognize them. I don't recognize their name. I don't recognize their photo. I'm thinking, what? Like, and it just is a realization. Oh yeah. Not everybody is necessarily waving their hands in the comments or liking all of your posts. And just because you're not seeing that in the moment doesn't mean you're completely invisible. And so show up as if, you know, you have all the fans and people are waiting on you. And showing up in that light and continuously doing that is going to bring those people in to start engaging and building that community. For myself, as my group was growing, I contribute a large portion of my group growth towards continuing to showing up as if, you know, there were people to show up for, because I was getting very low engagement as my group was just starting out. But I just continued to show up. I continue to show up in the same way I do now with my following as I did, you know, at a quarter or an eighth of my following. But if I hadn't done that, I don't believe I would have resonated or nurtured my audience as much as I have. So if you are feeling like you need to have, you know, everything in order and you need to know exactly who you're serving and you need your perfect offer or your website completely built out before you start showing up, I encourage you to shift your mindset towards how can I serve today and not stressing too much about how am I going to be serving in 3 months. It's great to have goals, and I believe in goals, of course, and mapping out your plan and your steps to get there, but you know, tomorrow has its worries for its own, and we need to focus on the present. How can you show up and give value and connect with your audience today, rather than feeling overwhelmed that you're not making the best or right decision in your business and you need to know exactly what to do before you show up?
Absolutely. It's definitely something that you plan, but you plan on the go. You know, you plan while you're in motion. And so, you know, you just want to make sure that you're consistent. To your point, there are people that are silently stalking you online because they're not quite ready, to invest. They're not quite ready to engage. And so, you know, you just never know when that call is going to be from one of those people that have been hiding in the shadows. So yeah, I totally agree with everything that you just said.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for coming on to today's episode. And as I said at the beginning, Brittany is serving female entrepreneurs, and she will help you out with that brand, not just external factors, but the internal factors. So if that is not your quote zone of genius or your area of expertise, Brittany, how can they connect with you?
Yep. So you guys can connect with me either on Facebook or Instagram at Brittany N. Smith, or you can visit me on brittanysmith.com and just make sure you spell Brittany with B-R-I-T-T-N-E-E.
Perfect. And those links will also be in the show notes. So you guys go check out her profile, make sure you give her a follow. And if you're building your brand, which everyone is constantly doing, and you want support with that, then definitely don't hesitate to reach out. As for myself, my links are in the show notes. You can find me in my Facebook group, Ambitious Women Entrepreneurs and Coaches, or you can find me in my website, www.emilyatdawn.com, Emily at Dawn. And I think that is it for today. I would love to close out with your ultimate I guess you could say, quote or affirmation or piece of advice for my audience?
I would say, because you mentioned the imposter syndrome and how we all have some of her shadowing over us at all times in our business. So I just want to leave you with three words. You are enough. You are enough. Wherever you are in your business, whether you're just starting out or whether you've been at it for a while, when that enemy creeps in, that imposter syndrome creeps in, just remember you are enough. As you are in all of your glory, flaws and all, you are enough.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And I'm sure everyone listening needs to hear that more often, as we are our biggest critics, and you absolutely are enough. Just keep showing up, keep doing what you're doing, and we are here to support you. So thank you so much again, and we'll talk to you very soon. That's it for today's episode. If you enjoyed listening to today's episode, be sure to rate and subscribe. To connect with me further, you can find me in my Facebook group, Ambitious Women Entrepreneurs and Coaches, or on Instagram at Emily Dawn Coach. You can also check out the show notes to get direct links, and I will catch you for the next episode.